Hey everybody, thought this would be a really good time to finally put this to bed and just debunk it completely and throw it out the window, because honestly, this is something that we have given so much attention to in the past, and going forward, we need to give far less attention to. But it's high time we get into the discussion, because this is something that plagues and haunts Christians all the time, and it just simply doesn't need to anymore. Whenever a Christian or any type of theist really enters into a discussion, a debate, or a dialogue with someone who is of an atheistic persuasion or skeptical or a naturalist, we're often made to feel as if we are on two ends of a spectrum. You're on team God, they're on team science, and never the twain shall meet. They cannot interact with one another. You have to choose and you have to defend your side. And this is really frustrating because for one, it is a false dichotomy, and for two, it's a red herring, and for three, it really frustrates me because Christians often enter into this field thinking, well, I'm looking at this person here, I have compassion for them, I want to discuss this in good faith, so I'll meet them where they are. I'll bring God with me into the field of science and I'll show them how he works, how compatible he is with that view. But the problem is, those people won't let God into that field. And so you have to kind of leave him at the door to try and prove something that's outside of the field of science by using everything within the field of science. And this just doesn't work. The reality of the situation is, God and science are not antithetical. They're not antagonistic towards one another. They are not opposites. They work together beautifully if you're thinking about them both correctly. Science is a wonderful thing. It deals in the natural world and how things work. It deals in the observable, the testable, and the repeatable, and the falsifiable, actually. So it deals in all of these things that can be proven within the natural world. Tests are done, hypotheses are made, and experiments are happening, and then people come to conclusions and we learn things and we grow. This is all great, but God, by definition, transcends science. It transcends the natural world that science explains and discusses and interacts within. And so you cannot prove God by the natural world when he, by definition, is of a supernatural world. Now, yes, he does interact in the natural world, but the crazy thing about this is, science dealing in the natural world desires a miracle from God. They say, well, if God would just do a miracle, then we would believe it. And yet when God does a miracle, science says, well, that wasn't a miracle. It has to be explained by nature. And so they want him to do a natural miracle. But if he did a natural miracle, they'd say, no, that's just the laws of nature. So which one is it? It can't be both, but I cannot prove to you God, who is outside of the scientific field, within the scientific field, because it has its limitations. And this is normal and good for all fields of study and all disciplines, yet science has become this almost like a God figure where it's supposed to be all-encompassing. It's true, if you believe only in the natural world, you're going to have a really hard time believing in God who is outside of the natural world, because science is not meant to explain these things in depth. Some of the other limitations within the field of science are moral values or subjective experiences, ultimate purpose of existence, free will, historical events. These are things that are outside of the field of science, and so they can be helped by science, absolutely. Like the science of archaeology helps us understand history a lot better, and yet it cannot prove unequivocally that things in history happened or didn't happen. All we can do is gain plausible evidence for things, but it doesn't mean that we can prove it undeniably. And so I'm not sure why it's such a problem that science can't explain or box in God, when science can't explain or box in a lot of things. And there's a lot even beneath science that we take as just fundamentally true that can't be proven, but is often utilized by science. God used to be one of these things. Although he's not below science, he's above it, he transcends it. But God used to be one of these things, and now we've lost that entirely. Think about this, like numbers. Numbers cannot be proven by science, and yet they are used within science all the time as absolute fact. If no person is around to observe that there are two trees there, there still are two trees there. That number two exists outside of observation. And so science, by definition, cannot prove that there's two. It cannot prove the numerical nature of things, and yet we use it all the time in science as if it's no problem. A long time ago, and actually even now, we're made to feel like scientists are all atheists, they're all naturalists, they're all against God. This is not true. I agree that it's kind of been lessening over time. Less and less are scientists of the Christian persuasion, but this has not always been the case. Louis Pasteur, I mean, incredibly famous scientist, is famed for having said, "A little science estranges man from God, but much science leads them back to him." So many of our scientists from the past were motivated to ask the certain questions about nature that caused the hypotheses, that caused the experiments, that caused the observation, because they believed that God had made it, and they wanted to seek out what he had done and why he had done it, to try and bring themselves closer to understanding what God has done in his creation. This is just the reality of the situation. Now, this is so important to know, because one really, really good example of an atheist saying that, well, it's either Christianity or science, or it's either science or God, is Ricky Gervais in 2017. He was on the Colbert Show, and he brought up this argument that I think is really interesting, but also really just ripe with this false dichotomy and this red herring. And I've seen this clip played a lot lately, and so I'm sure you have too. I'm not sure why it's resurfaced, but it seems to have. But Ricky Gervais is talking with Stephen Colbert, and Stephen says, "You know, Ricky, I don't need to prove God to you. I don't feel like I need to force that belief on you. And yet I feel for you in a way, because I have this desire to have gratitude to something higher for all the things that are lower." So he's like looking around. He's like, I have this innate desire within me to be grateful towards a higher power. And he just sees it as a good thing in his life, which is really surprising, because honestly, the media seems to be going farther and farther away from God all the time. So the fact that he admitted this and spoke very publicly about this, I thought was a really interesting thing. But Ricky Gervais comes back and he says, "You know, I understand that, and I have empathy for that. The problem is, if I were to take every fictional book and every holy book and destroy them, not just physical copies, but destroy them from people's minds, and then I were to do the same thing with every science textbook, well, in 1,000 years, the holy books and the fictional books would not come back, but the science books would, because the same tests can be done, the same observations made, hypotheses tested, and we would have science books again." So this is his argument for why he trusts science but doesn't really need faith in other things. But this is a great example of the false dichotomy people often put up. First of all, I want to say, who made this the litmus test? This is a very common tactic of atheists and skeptics to say, "Well, if God would just do this, or if he acted in this way, then I would believe in him." I've heard one person even say, "If he wrote in the stars my name and then said, 'I am God,' then I would believe." And yet I really don't trust that that's the case, because he's already done so many amazing supernatural and natural things, and yet we don't want to believe. So I think it's more a problem with desire or motivation rather than just not having seen the evidence. Christian apologists come up with evidence all the time that logically and philosophically prove, at least plausibly, the existence of God, and yet it's not wanted to be listened to by science because it isn't in the scientific field. Philosophy and science, those are different fields. But Ricky forgets that he's talking about things that, like fictional books, if you get rid of those, well, yes, those are art from a period in history. Those were the products of a mind. So you're right. They wouldn't come back just how they are, because the same mind isn't around now to make those things happen. But he also forgets that so many things, especially within Christianity, hinge on historical things happening. Jesus Christ entered into existence. He entered into human existence anyways. And he became a man. He lived and died in a period of history. And a lot of our faith has to do with that. God created all things before time existed. And we can look back in time just after that moment. And science says, "Well, I don't know what happened before that, because it's not observable, repeatable, testable, falsifiable, etc." And I say, "You're right. I'm really glad that you've admitted a limitation of science there." But then they'll come up with different hypotheses that they believe, you know, solve the problem without giving the hypothesis of God or an intelligent mind enough credit. But the reality is, a lot of Christianity hinges on historical events, because God did a miraculous thing at a point in time in history, and he acted in a way that was a bridging of the gap between the supernatural and the natural. Science cannot observe that. They cannot repeat that. They cannot test that or falsify that. And so they choose to reject it. And that's fine. If you want to choose to reject it, that's okay. But to say that we only have to operate in this field of science, well, then you have to get rid of all of history. You have to get rid of all of art. You have to get rid of numbers completely. You have to get rid of subjective experience. That's just not true. You have to get rid of moral values. And this is so often where atheists and skeptics go. They get closer and closer to this, where they're just getting rid of all of these things because they're lifting up science as like the one true thing that we must believe in. The amazing thing about being a Christian and having faith in God is that you can have God and science and history and philosophy and subjective experience and moral values, and all of them are compatible. You're taking all of the evidence and you're weighing it all together. The problem with the just science side is that they're taking only science and are forced to deny everything else that we understand to be a part of reality, and they have to deny that. And that's just not a very stable place to be. So if you're a Christian and you find yourself in these kinds of discussions, don't worry about it. If they ask you to leave God at the door, refuse, because your side offers a lot more evidence from a lot more different disciplines than science-only mindset offers up.